This is Movies for the Blind, episode 297, Holiday, part 2 of 3.
Can you look yourself squarely in the eye and say, I am a fish?
Hello and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. We continue with Holiday, and while I went on last time about the star, Anne Harding, she would become far less well-known than the woman playing your sister. I talked about Mary Astor quite a bit back when we featured her film Behind Office Doors. To say she had an eventful life and career is an understatement, with her famous turn in The Maltese Falcon almost an afterthought. To give you an idea just how dramatic her life was, we can focus in on just around the time that Holiday was made, 1930. She had already been a successful silent film actress, living under the thumb of her parents, had had a major affair with John Barrymore, and got dumped from her studio when they didn't like the sound test for her voice when Talking Pictures came around. A very good actress friend was able to get her a stage role that revived her career and the movie's faith in her low voice. But then her film director husband was killed in a plane crash. Though she kept working, the loss sent her into shock and eventually a nervous breakdown, during which she was attended to by a doctor she eventually married. That's just around the time this movie was made. There's way more where that came from. While Astor may have had more in common with the free spirit Linda Seaton in this film, she's playing the slightly more subdued Julia, who fell in love with corporate lawyer Johnny Case while on vacation and brought him home to meet the family. Unaware she was born into great wealth, Johnny's been getting a crash course in how the other half lives, although he himself confides to Linda that he wants to make just enough money on his own to take a holiday and get away from the rat race to live life while he's still young. Linda is thrilled with her sister's engagement and begs to throw her a small party to celebrate, but others in the family seem to have hijacked it into a big fancy ball. No one seems to know where Linda is during the festivities except for her brother, Ned. So he's taking Johnny to find her in part 2 of 3 of Holiday. Soon after, stepping out of the elevator, Johnny and Ned stop in a hall, listening. Ned puts a finger to his lips, then steps to a door. He knocks. He answers. The door opens.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, please. This is a private residence.
This is a private case.
Uh-huh. What kind of a case?
A very sad case.
Oh, dear. All cut up, huh? Well, wheel it in and we'll try it out. Oh, Johnny.
Hello, dear.
Johnny goes into a large room with all sizes of furniture and a sort of gym in the back. Three other guests greet Johnny as Linda turns from playing piano. All are in formal wear and paper party hats.
Is there any chance of the place being pinched?
We hope so. Don't speak of it, mister. The trouble we have with the police, you don't know.
Linda gives Johnny her hat.
That's what he needed, that little
guy. What have we here? Some sort of grape beverage?
Mum's word.
What are you talking about, Johnny? Why, that's the sun-kissed result of aerated apple.
Oh, I hope you'd come up, Johnny.
You're my pet hostess, you know.
Well, I hear you're engaged. Many happy returns. Is it announced yet?
Well,
farm boy wins heiress as blizzard grips city.
Thanks.
No, it's to be announced at midnight with a roll of drums.
And with that gifted entertainer, Mr. Edward Seaton, on the microphone. He has the true undertaker's touch, that man Seaton.
Well, I really like him. I like him a lot.
Johnny, he has an idea that you're a comer. That's the reason he was won over so quickly. Same stuff as Grandpa Seaton himself. Up from nothing. Hue to the line.
Laughing, Linda walks off.
You understand that I am America's great social menace because I never got out and did big things.
Well, you think, for instance, if I were to quit business...
Oh, my dear boy, don't try it. Don't try it. Why, he'd be down on you like Grant took Bebo.
Linda.
Well, folks, who's...
Danny,
doing?
You understand? A little bit more.
Please, my department, sweetheart, you know that. Some for all, not all for some.
Oh, but Nick.
Oh, I like this place.
It was Mother's idea for it.
She looks through record albums.
I'm supposed to inform you there's a party going on in the house.
You mean that low-class dance hall downstairs?
Yeah.
Don't speak of it.
Linda.
Gimme, gimme.
She hurries to a tray of drinks.
Johnny?
Thanks.
To Johnny and his Julia.
Julia. Yeah, well, how about the beaming Potters? Bean for them, darling, bean.
Mrs. Potter wipes her teeth and grins.
Really for that, don't we?
Only sandwiches.
What a house.
There's solid food on the way.
You know, I trade 20 marbles and a jackknife for the carcass of a chicken in good repair.
Dolly, you should have been with us. There hasn't been one word of sense spoken all evening.
And there won't be unless Linda gets homesick.
Oh, I'm a diehard about this evening and this room. I only hope no one but Ned and Julia wander in.
Well, Laura and Seaton would be fun.
Do you see those two trapezes?
Distinctly.
In the back.
Well, time was when Seaton and I used to swing on them by our knees and spit at each other. I'm happy to say now I seldom, if ever, miss.
Oh, yes.
Linda drinks and Nick eats a sandwich.
Right. Well, aren't we going downstairs?
No, Angel, we are
and
not.
And why should we? Why, it's just perfect here. It's already taken 60 years off these old shoulders. Don't look.
Nick shows them his watch.
11:40. Dr. Stork is on his way, dear. It's a little baby New Year's.
Linda sits down.
Oh, will somebody tell me what I'm going to do next year? And the year after that? And the year after that?
What you need is a husband, Linda.
You know any good addresses?
Johnny, how long are you and Julia going to be abroad?
Well, perhaps indefinitely.
What? Julia said March.
Some stock that I got at about 8 was kind enough to touch 15 today. And if the deal I think's going through does go through, it'll do twice that.
I may be dumb, but I don't...
There's a very fair chance I may quit business next Saturday.
Johnny!
She stands.
Well, good, for as long as it lasts.
Good boy, very good boy.
And do you mean to say that Julia knows nothing of this little plan?
I haven't breathed a word of it to her. I want to be sure first. It all depends on what a Boston group called Bay State Power does about it. I'll know that Monday.
They'll do it. I don't know what it is, but they'll do it.
Johnny,
oh, am I happy.
Life is a grand little ride if you take it yourself. Your own way.
And no good at all if somebody else takes you on it. Oh, there's no life any good but the life you make for yourself.
Laura and Seaton walk in.
Hello. But isn't this lovely?
Well, well, so here you are.
Oh, he guessed it.
Well,
hello, Nick.
Not at all.
Hello, Susan.
Hello.
How do you do?
Hello. May we sit down a minute? Why not? I've never been up here. It's awfully pleasant. We like it.
Of course, it is a little far from the car line.
And the water isn't all it might be.
But
we like it.
I'm afraid I don't follow you. You're not all tight, are you? We have a very high boiling point.
Seaton turns to Johnny.
You old fox, you. Sam Hobson's downstairs, and he just told me about your little hall and seaboard. Do you know there's an order in our office to buy 60,000 shares for Ross of Bay State Power, and all the way up to 30?
Then that cinches it.
Look here. We'd like to have you with us in Pritchard Ames. To begin at twice what you get now, and probably a directorship in seaboard to boot.
Well, 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 to boot. To boot.
Believe me when I tell you, the first 50,000 is the hardest. After that, it's just plain saving.
Look out, Johnny.
In 2 years, we can make your 40,000 80. In 5 years, 200,000.
Oh, my word. Lend a fellow a dime for a cup of coffee, will you, mister?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, how about...
I'll let you know.
Look out, look. Oh.
Don't worry, Linda.
Just let me give you a brief outline of the possibilities.
That will do for business tonight, Seaton.
Well, you're the hostess here. Then let's all go downstairs and celebrate, shall we?
Yes, let's. It's such a wonderful party. I'm not going downstairs.
11:47. I wonder what can be keeping old Dr. Stork.
Linda, really, people are beginning to wonder a little. I am not going downstairs.
Linda, I think your conduct toward your guest tonight is simply outrageous.
When a girl invites 300 people to a house and then proceeds to...
I invited 6 people,
5 of whom you now see before you. All the rest came on someone else's say-so. Yours and father's, I believe. Come, Seaton.
Laura leads him to the door.
Oh, Seaton.
Yes?
Before you go, you wouldn't care to swing on the old trapeze for a while, would you?
He looks back at it.
Why,
I suppose not.
Seaton and Laura draw themselves up with raised chins and leave the playroom. Linda paces to her guests.
Linda, mark my words. One of these days they're going to draw themselves up like that and they won't be able to get down again.
She breaks into laughter and sits down.
Well, Johnny.
Oh, it's a grand feeling.
Wait till Julia hears. And tonight of all nights, what a break that is.
Oh, I knew it would come on.
Go to it, boy.
Oh, won't I? You just watch me. Before we spend the spring,
Why not spend it together?
Just a moment. What do you think of that, sweetheart? Do you think we could stand them?
Linda jumps up and joins them.
Come too, please.
Why,
come,
you,
come too.
To come. We want you. We need you.
How about the south of France?
Why not?
Oh, no, no. The air reeks of roses, and the nightingales make the nights hideous.
Oh, don't, don't.
Of course, if we all went to Norway, we could paint a house at midnight.
Oh, I
know. No,
that.
No, Norway's out. It's got to be someplace where we can swim all day long. You know, it just dawned on me I've never swum enough. That's the one thing I want to do, swim.
Why, my dear, well, what are you talking about? My dear boy, in the bright lexicon of youth, there's no such word. Swimming? That's for idlers.
And Hawaiian.
And fish. Mm.
Are you a fish? Answer me. Can you look yourself squarely in the eye and say, I am a fish? No, you can't do it.
You're a hard man, sir.
Ah, son, it's life that's made me hard.
But I only want to be like you, Daddy. How can I be like
what
you?
What do you mean, Daddy? Stop that. Go in and ask your mama. Not another penny.
Tell us more, Daddy.
You want to hear the story of my success?
No.
No, no.
Very well, I'll tell you.
Come, children, gather round.
Come on, Nick.
Everyone sits down as Nick stands in the middle.
Quiet, please. My friends, I arrived in this country at the age of 3 weeks with absolutely nothing in my pocket but 5 cents and an old hat check. I had no friends, little or no education, and sex. Well, sex to me was still the great mystery. But, my dears, as I walked down the gangplank from that little sailing vessel, steam was unknown at the time, except among the very rich. Oh, my friends, can you picture that manly little figure without a tug at your heartstrings and just a faint touch of nausea? But I pulled my belt tightly around my waist and I said to myself, don't forget you're a potter, Nick. I called myself Nick at the time. So I soon found myself in my first job. It was in the glassworks. Glass was in its infancy then. We'd barely scratched the surface.
He looks around.
I had never shirked work, never. If there was an errand to be run, I ran 5 errands. If someone wanted to get off at the 3rd floor, I took them to the 10th floor. So naturally, of course, one day came my big chance. I was in the glass-blowing department at the time. Miss Murphy's department now. And a very capable little woman Miss Murphy is.
Oh, Mr. Potter, I'm no such thing.
You don't let anybody tell you differently. She certainly is. One day, my friends, I was blowing glass like a 2-year-old. And whistling as I blew. Suddenly I looked down and I found in my hands a bottle.
He picks one up.
Or what we now know as a bottle. And I rushed to my employer, a certain Mr. Walter P. Grandgent. And I said, Mr. Grandgent, look, look. I think I've got something here. And Mr. Grandgent looked. And Mr. Grandgent laughed. Laughed. You understand? I went from city to city like some hunted thing with that laugh always ringing before my eyes. But with me went my bottle. They called it Potter's Folly. They said it wouldn't whistle. Time has proved how right they were. Today the bottle is in every home. Today, my friends, I have made the bottle a national institution. And that, my dears, is how I met your grandmama.
He takes Susan's hand and she stands. The others follow with glasses raised.
To Nick, the friend of rich and poor alike. To the man who brought Hawaiian music into every home.
To the man who taught a nation how to swim.
To Nicholas P. Potter, philanthropist and man about town.
My very dear friends, as the 3rd vice president of the 2nd largest spat factory in East St. Louis, I would like to say just a word in regard to what our young friend here has so quaintly termed swimming. We call it bathing. Let us bathe.
As they drink, Father enters with Julia.
Linda.
Yes, Father.
Linda, it's time.
Julia goes to Johnny.
Please turn that music off.
Father, you know Mr. and Mrs. Potter, Miss Jessup and Mr. Hedges?
He barely acknowledges them.
Turn it off, Linda.
Setting down her drink, she goes to the record player.
Julia, I've got the grandest surprise.
Just a moment. You must all come down now. It's nearly 12, and we want the entire party together to see the new year in.
But there are 2 parties, Father. The one downstairs and mine here.
Linda, you will please do as I say.
I asked permission to have a few of my friends up here tonight, and you said that I might. I have some of them now, and
yes, I noticed you had.
Nick.
He goes to her.
Will you and Susan take Mary and Pete down to my sitting room? I'll be there in a minute.
Why, of course, of course. Susan.
Yes.
Unless I'm very much mistaken, Mr. Seaton, little baby New Year's is just passing over Yonkers.
Father glowers at him.
To boot.
Nick hesitantly turns away and goes with Linda's other guests out of the playroom.
Oh, this is so humiliating. Nick and Susan and Mary and Pete are my guests, not yours. And I want to entertain them up here, do you understand?
There's no cause for temper, child. Just come down now and we'll follow. Julia and I want to talk with Johnny for a moment.
Listen to me, Father. Tonight means a good deal to me.
Your place is downstairs.
This is important to me, Father. Don't ask me why. I don't know exactly, but it has something to do with when I was a child. This room, good times.
I insist that you do as I've told you, Linda.
I suppose you realize it means the end of us, then.
Don't talk nonsense. Do as I say.
It is the end. But all the same, I intend to have supper here tonight in my home with my friends.
Your persistence in calling this room your home is something that I cannot fathom.
No, you can't, can you? But I repeat, this room is my home. It's the only home I've ever known. Certainly there's nothing downstairs that understands me or that I understand. But there is something here that I do understand and that understands me. Maybe it's Mother. Mother was a sweet and exciting soul, Father. But whatever happiness she ever had in this house, she had here in this room.
I've told you.
You thought I'd come around, didn't you? You always think people will come around. Not me. Not tonight. And I shan't be bothered here either. Because if there's one thing you can't stand, it's a scene. And if you interfere, I can promise you a beauty.
Linda, if you're not happy here, why don't you go away? I shall be very glad if next month you will take your maid and Miss Tarleton.
All right, Father. That's just what I am going to do right after the wedding. But no maid. And no Miss Talcott. Just me, Linda, the kid herself.
She walks away from him. And he turns to Julia and Johnny.
Come along, Johnny.
When he heads for the door, they follow him out. At the doorway, Johnny turns back before leaving and closing the door. They wait for the elevator.
Johnny, you've done a fine piece of work, and I want to congratulate you. Seaton has told us.
Marvelous.
Your stock's going up with a rush, it seems. Now's the time to make hay, I think.
Hay? Money. Money.
Now, all those years you worked so, they'll pay interest, Johnny.
Richard Ames is a fine house. And in my opinion, you couldn't be with anything better for the time being.
The elevator arrives.
You better not wait too long to get Johnny to the bank, Father. He'll cost you too much.
I've made up my mind not to take up the Richard Ames offer.
What's this?
Oh, I don't want to get tied up for life quite so soon. I'm afraid I'm not as anxious as I should be for the things people work toward. You see, I don't want too much money.
Too much money?
Well, more than I need to live by. It's always been my plan to make a few thousands early in the game if I could, and then quit for as long as they last. And try to find out who I am and what I am and what goes on and what about it. Now, while I'm young and feel good all the time. I'm sure Julia understands what I mean. Don't you, Julia?
Why, I'm not sure that I do, Johnny.
You wish to occupy yourself otherwise, is that it? As a gentleman of leisure?
Well, as a man whose time, for a while at least, is his own. That's what I've been plugging for ever since I was 10. Right or wrong, it means more to me than anything in the world. Except Julia. And I have a feeling that if I let this chance slip by, there'll never be another one for me. So I don't think anyone will mind if I just have a go at it. Will they, Julia? Will they, dear?
Father, will you let Johnny and me talk a while?
Just a moment. As I understand it, you have some objection, perhaps, to our manner of living?
Oh, not for you, sir. I haven't the slightest doubt in the world but that it's all right for you. Well, that it may be the answer for a lot of people. But for me, well, you see, I don't want to live in what they call a certain way. In the first place, I'd be no good at it.
Well, in all my experience, I've never heard such a...
Father, dear, it'll be all right. I promise you.
Kids, it strikes me that you chose a strange time to tell us this. In fact, if I'd not already sent the announcements to the newspapers and invited a number of our friends here tonight...
Oh, I see.
Father goes to the elevator doors and opens them. He turns back to Julia.
Come, Julia, we must go down now.
In a moment, Father.
He goes into the elevator alone, closing the doors.
Oh, darling, he didn't get what I'm driving at all. My plan is...
Johnny, why did you do it? You know how that talk would antagonize him.
You think talk is all it was?
Yes, I do. I've known quite a few men who don't work. And of all the inane, unhappy lives, it's unthinkable.
I might do it differently.
Differently?
She presses the call button.
Julia, do you love me?
Oh, you won't listen to me.
Yes, I will.
I suppose it doesn't occur to you how it would look for you to stop work now.
Look? Why, how? Oh, you mean there'd be those who'd think I'd married money and then call it a day?
There would be. There'd be plenty of them.
I shouldn't mind. Oh, darling, don't you see what I'm aiming at either? Just try a little blind faith for a while, won't you? Come along with me.
Johnny...
The whole way, dear.
Johnny, wait until next year. Or 2 years. And we'll think about it again. If it's right, it can be done then as well as now. You can do that for me, for us, can't you?
You think by that time that I'd have come around. That's what you think, isn't it? I'd have come around.
But don't you see that if... Oh, it isn't so important.
She opens the elevator doors, and Johnny holds them open.
We must go downstairs now.
She steps inside.
You coming?
In a moment. I want to talk to Linda first, if you don't mind.
But I do mind. Will you come, please?
In a moment.
He closes the doors. He turns to the playroom door, then crosses the hall to it. He goes back in, as Linda turns on a music box. He watches her. He crosses the playroom to her. She finally notices him. She turns to him with one arm leaning on the music box and the other hand on her hip.
You better get downstairs, young man.
Not right now.
I'm afraid I don't know how to entertain you. I've done all my stuff.
I don't need entertaining.
Well, you wouldn't care to step into a waltz, would you, Mr. Case?
I'd love it.
They smile and start to waltz together, turning around the floor.
There's a conspiracy against you and me, child.
I suppose, like the fathead you are, you told them all your little hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
Pretty disappointing.
Pretty bad.
Poor boy.
How about your own evening?
Not so good either.
Poor girl.
But we won't mind, will we?
They stop.
We won't mind.
They smile at each other.
Place head, A, against cheek, B, and proceed as before.
They dance on, cheek to cheek.
Of course, they may be right.
Don't you believe it?
They seem awful sure.
It's still your ride, isn't it? You know where you want to go, don't you?
They face each other again.
You're a brick, Linda.
Shut your silly face. There, yeah, that's enough. I'm getting excited.
They stop.
What?
Thanks. You can go now. It was grand. Listen.
That's it, all right.
Happy New Year, Johnny.
Happy New Year, dear.
They kiss. And she looks down, holding her head.
Johnny, you're so attractive.
You're all right yourself.
They'll be waiting. You can count on Sister Linda, John. Go on.
He turns away and walks away from her across the playroom. She heads for the music box as he reaches the door and pauses. He turns back. She has her back to him, turning off the music box.
Oh, Linda.
What?
She turns to him. She crosses the room to him. Drink in hand.
Dave, your father... Well, I've been put in a position that...
Do you love Julia, Johnny?
Why, of course I do.
If ever she needed you, she needs you now.
Ned enters.
Oh, Nettie.
Drink in hand.
Once it's announced, she'll go through with it. Then you can help her. I can't anymore. I've tried for 20 years. You're her only hope. Go on, Johnny.
Hesitating, he turns to Ned.
Hello, Nettie. Hello, Johnny.
Ned walks past him as Johnny leaves the playroom. Linda watches him go to the elevator and press the call button. He looks back again thoughtfully as she slowly closes the door. She takes a breath. He glances at the closed door, then turns to the elevator and opens it, stepping inside and closing it behind him. In the playroom, Linda sits down beside Ned.
What's it like to get drunk, Ned?
It's... how drunk?
Good and drunk.
Grand. Brings you to life. After a while, you're not afraid of anything. You feel... well, I don't know. Important.
That must be good. How long can you keep it up?
As long as you last.
Where do you finish?
Where does everybody finish? You die. And that's all right, too. What's the matter, Linda?
Oh, nothing.
I know.
Yeah?
Johnny.
Give me some more, Ned.
He accepts her glass.
He's a funny guy, isn't he?
Give me some.
Ned stands, sets down his own glass, and picks up a bottle. He pours as she stares into space. She closes her eyes and shakes away a thought. Her brother sits back down and puts the filled glass in her hand.
You can tell me about it, dear.
She looks at him, then away.
I love the boy, Nettie.
I thought so. Hell, isn't it?
I guess it will be.
Looking at her, he raises his glass.
Here's luck for you.
I don't want any luck.
He lowers his glass. And she sets hers aside.
I guess what I'd better do is...
She stands and walks off toward the door. She opens it as he drinks.
Maybe I ought to go down. Do you mind?
She turns to see Ned slowly slumping over onto the divan where they sat. She goes back to him.
Nettie.
She strokes his hair.
Come on, dear. Come on.
She kisses his cheek tenderly as he lies semi-conscious.
Poor lad.
She stands straight again and crosses the room again to the door. She turns off all the lights. Then she faces the lights of the hall. She leaves the playroom. Downstairs.
For that reason, I'm particularly gratified in seeing you here tonight.
Linda arrives from the elevator.
Oh, my very good friends. I have the honor to announce the engagement of my daughter Julia to Mr. John Cage.
She watches from behind a pillar.
An event which doubles the pleasure I have in wishing you and them a most prosperous and happy new year.
Putting on a smile. She approaches the crowds, then embraces Julia. Laura and other guests congratulate the couple. So, will they all go through with it? Will anybody come around? Find out in the conclusion of Holiday, next time on Movies for the Blind. That past Mary Astor film we featured, Behind Office Doors, also starred her leading man here, Robert Ames, who's playing Johnny. His life, however, would be brutally short. The following year, in late 1931, he was found dead in a New York hotel room. He had been taking medicine for alcohol withdrawal, and no alcohol was found in his system. The cause of death was determined to be delirium tremens from going off alcohol too fast. To find out more about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe, go to the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast's Creative Commons license. We're now happy to be on Stitcher, so feel free to subscribe, share, and say nice things, as you can also do in the iTunes store. You can also follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Make sure you're following updates on Facebook. And subscribe to us on YouTube, where we show you how it's done. The movies are from the Internet Archive, so please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Back next week. Take care.